So a lot of Bibles will put little subheads before sections, and those were not in original parchment or manuscript. So this subhead is called the Sermon on the Plain. And it refers to the plain, as sort of the level place, a plain that you might see in the Midwest. But I kind of like the play on words of Sermon on the Plain, like he's just saying it plain. Another way that it is titled, which I personally like a little bit more, is Sermon on the Level Place. Because Jesus is coming down from a mountain. He's been with the 12 apostles, who he's just called. He's somewhat of a celebrity now because he's been healing in his early ministry in Galilee. And he comes down to this crowd. And he doesn't do what we get in Matthew, where there's a Sermon on the Mount and he speaks to the crowd, kind of like I'm on this little tiny mount here. This is Jesus coming to the level place, bringing himself into the midst of where people are, and people at that time were living mostly in poverty, under oppression from Roman rule. And he comes into their midst and is with them in their suffering, with them in their needs and their desire to be healed. And he's healing them. Everybody knew he had been healing them, which is why they came from all of Judea and Jerusalem, Tyre and Sidon. And I sort of imagine that if Jesus were here today, and if we were actually allowed to go up into the Palisades or over to Altadena area, that Jesus would be coming right into the level place, the heart of the pain and the suffering of losing homes. And Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the hungry, for you will be filled. Blessed are those who weep. You will laugh. And blessed are you when people hate you, exclude you, revile you, defame you." Because this is actually what happened to the prophets. In being leveled and everyone being on this plane, whether they were hurting, whether they were in a good place, whether they had just been healed, whether they were yearning to learn more, Jesus is there with them on the level place. Sort of why some of us come to church. We see need in ourselves, and we're sitting here with need to be healed, need to hear the good news, need to hear Jesus, and engage with Jesus who is in our midst. Now, this isn't an easy gospel because after the blessings, Jesus in this place calls out folks with a bunch of woes. And they're not easy to hear. And I like some of the other translations of a Bible from the one we have, which is trouble ahead. Trouble ahead for those of you who are rich. Because in receiving your consolation, you've already feel you have, or we have the healing that it is in the having. Woe to those of us who are full, be hungry, sort of like woe to us who think that we have enough, but, we will be hungry. Is it really enough? Woe to you who are laughing, for you will mourn and weep. And many times laughter, when we're self-satisfied and cut off from one another, does involve some putting down of other people. And woe to you when people speak well of you, because that was what was done to false prophets. And if you're familiar with Hebrew scripture, you know that the true prophets didn't have great followings. They weren't liked very much, like poor Jeremiah, who we heard in the first reading. And the false prophets were the ones that got big crowds. So the word woe in Greek actually sounds the same as woe to us, woe. But the translation is a bit different. The translation in Greek, the meaning in Greek is more like sigh, like woe, or yikes. If you take woe into Hebrew from the Greek, it's more like hey or uh-oh. Translation in the Message says trouble ahead. So I sort of imagine Jesus as our parent saying, oh, trouble ahead. I see where this is going. Those of you who are rich, I see self-satisfaction and reliance on self and separation from the crowds, separation from the level plane. We're better than. The same with being full. Same with craving when people speak well of you. Another translation is how terrible. So there's trouble ahead. How terrible. And this is all about Jesus pointing out reliance on self, separating self from the crowd, from everyone who is there, ends up denying the dignity of everyone who is there. Want to be up on the mountain, want to be better than. We're not engaging on the level ground with Jesus. And this is a really hard time in our nation. There are edicts, executive orders after executive order that deny the level ground of all of us. We have anti-immigration, anti-difference, especially for the LGBTQ plus community. And in all this, as much as it hurts, my heart is beating with a bit of pride at being an Episcopalian. Because our church is joining a number of Christians, many, many Christian, in decrying the impact of separating, decrying the impact of exclusion. I mean, just look at immigration and the freezing and revoking of refugee and asylum status from people who are already in process of moving towards citizenship or asylum. The threats of the mass deportations which are coming. And if we look in our own diocese, we have IRIS, the Interfaith Refugee and Immigration Service. They're nonprofit, they're non-sectarian, and they offer refugee, and have been for years and years and years, refugee resettlement assistance and immigration legal aid, helping people get food, shelter, medical care, and even jobs, once they're to a point in the process where they can get jobs. But on January 24th, IRIS received a stop work order because some of their funding, a good chunk of their funding, it comes from the federal government trickling down to little IRIS. And there they are facing, right now, having 46 families have recently arrived, and they cannot help them get food or shelter, medical care. They can't keep supporting them on the process towards asylum and citizenship. Another executive order revoking state safe harbor of churches, of hospitals, of schools. We now are being told we cannot welcome everyone. I mean, our sign out front says, wherever you are in your spiritual journey, if we were to follow this, be except for proud of the Episcopal Church because we have joined a lawsuit that is challenging ICE's enforcement of actions in church, challenging and saying we need religious freedom to welcome everyone as our gospel tells us. Because we are a church, we have a gospel that is all about the level place. So co-plaintiffs in this span both Christianity and Judaism. Some of them include Baptists, the Disciples of Christ, certain evangelicals, Lutherans, Mennonites, Methodists, Quakers, Presbyterians, Unitarian Universalists, as well as the Central Conference of American Rabbis, Reconstructing Judaism, and the Union for Reform Judaism. Our presiding bishop this past week came out and said, "We are told by the rulers of our day that the rich shall be first, that compassion is a weakness, that we should regard the migrants and strangers among us with fear and contempt." What we're being asked to do is ignore the gospel that we read this morning. Blessed are you who are hungry, who are poor, who weep. And Presiding Bishop Sean Rowe goes on to say, "I ask us all to see that our true citizenship is in God's kingdom, where the meek shall inherit the earth, the merciful shall receive mercy, and the captives shall go free." This is our church proclaiming the gospel. Blessed are the poor, the hungry, those who weep, and those who are reviled and excluded. President of the House of Deputies wrote a letter to all deputies saying this lawsuit is about protecting our ability to live out the gospel without fear and without interference. That welcoming the stranger is not a political act. It's a sacred obligation. When immigrants walk through our doors, she writes, they're not entering as outsiders. They're stepping into the heart of our faith. They're stepping into this level ground of this sanctuary and sanctuaries all over. They're stepping into the heart of our faith where their dignity and stories are fully embraced. Blessed are the poor, the hungry, those who weep and are reviled. And this lawsuit is not the only voice from the Christian world that's spoken out. The Pope on Tuesday decried the blanket deportations that our nation is facing. He wrote, "Christian love is not a concentric expansion of interests that little by little expand to other persons and groups." He's saying it's not that we, this exclusive bunch of us, are most beloved. And then if they're leftovers, we can sort of expand out. Expand out to our neighbors, expand out to our communities, and ultimately expand out to the world. Is a Pope is affirming what we affirm and what the gospel affirms is we were all created in the image and likeness of God. We all deserve the dignity. We all deserve the dignity and should be honored as Christ gave everyone on that level plane. Christian love, the Pope wrote, is a love that builds fraternity open to all without exception. And it appalls me that there are some Christian siblings on the extreme right that are writing books on toxic empathy, on how empathy and compassion are sins. I can't find that anywhere in Scripture. That because we have empathy for the other, we're enabling the other to not do as the political agenda of these particular Christian groups would like. Toxic empathy? That's not what I just read. Just another example of the impact and the hurt is on the subject of difference. The executive order against diversity, equality, and inclusion. You will rarely hear a sermon from any pulpit that will not affirm that we are all children of God. We are all beloved by God. And what's this trickled down to being right now is that several federal agencies, including the Pentagon, have interpreted this executive order as one meaning we should erase cultural observances. So goodbye Black History Month, goodbye Women's History Month, goodbye Pride, and many more. And even Google, a few days after this, erased all those from their site. The National Science Foundation interpreted this as, we need to get rid of certain words in our grant applications. And they came out with a flow chart of how grants will be reviewed. And the words they warned about that would be suspect include disabilities, the word socioeconomic, the word women. Men are okay. Nothing against men. Women. The list is huge. So the president of the House of Deputies has taken issue on behalf and spoken out on behalf, along with our Organization for People of Color in the Episcopal Church. And she wrote a letter called Hope in a Weary Time, a call to justice and love. And she lists who we are to love as Jesus loved us. She says our sacred commitments compel us to action because the gospel of Jesus Christ demands it. So, as a church, we stand with LGBTQ+ people, especially our transgender and non-binary siblings. We stand against the legislation that denies their God-given dignity. We proclaim that Black lives are as precious in God's sight and essential to the body of Christ. I mean, how many of us remember the Bible passage, and I think we preached on it recently, where the eye can't tell the nose or the ear, you're not good enough, I don't want you. You know, our hands can't tell the feet, nah, I don't have any need of you. All our different parts, as diverse as they are, my finger, my elbow, are all part of the body of Christ. And that is true of us as people. We don't deny our difference. We are welcomed on the level plane, and Jesus is there with us. Jesus is there with us proclaiming that we are all siblings in Christ and we are all God's children. She goes on to say, we defend indigenous sovereignty and identity as sacred gifts. We walk alongside our Latino siblings, protecting their dignity and celebrating their presence. This is not about putting up walls. It's about celebrating one another as Jesus celebrates us. And we welcome the stranger, we accompany those seeking safety, and we advocate for refugee resettlement. And she writes what the gospel says, that the gospel of Jesus Christ demands of us that compassion reach across chasms of difference, that courage stands firm in the face of injustice, and that community welcomes the stranger and protects the vulnerable. This isn't easy to hear at this time. And we may be all over the place and where we stand with what's happening in our nation. But we need to look at the gospel. We are Christian. We have our baptismal covenant, the vows that were made on our behalf or that we made. And we need to be with Jesus on the level plane. Thomas Merton has a book on reading scripture called Opening the Bible. And he says that opening the Bible, reading scripture, is an encounter with God, a encounter that is transforming and liberating. Yet in his words, it is the very nature of the Bible to affront, perplex, and astonish the human mind. Hence, the reader who opens the Bible must be prepared for disorientation, confusion, incomprehension, and perhaps even outrage. Path is not an easy path as Christians. But we are called to be with Jesus on the level plane and called to see each other in whatever suffering we have, whatever needs we have, and whoever we are. We need to see each other with Jesus' eyes, because that's where Jesus came, to be with us. So it's uncomfortable. Yikes. Uh-oh. Trouble ahead. God, our parent who created us, Jesus who walks with us, saying, come on, people. If you separate yourself off from the crowd and get self-satisfied, it's not going to work. We need everybody in the body of Christ. We need the belly buttons. We need the noses. We need the knees. We all need each other, because that's how God works through us. That's how God's transformative love is spread. So let us see as Jesus sees. And let us sit with whatever discomfort this has, with whatever liberation this gospel offers us. And I will tell you, I had to end at the woes, because that's what the reading is prescribed for today. If you tune in next week, next week is what do we do about it? So maybe a little more fun next week. But this week, we need to pay attention to those who are blessed, the ones who are suffering, ones right here in our pews, ones outside our door, in our cities, our nation. And we also need to sit with the yikes, the uh-oh, the trouble ahead. Because the trouble ahead is not what God wants. So let us go onto the level ground with Jesus and see, open our eyes to see what Jesus sees. Amen.